During the pandemic, with restaurants often closed or just offering limited menus for takeout or delivery, a lot of folks spent more time and energy actually cooking in their own kitchens. There was a period, too, when people got hooked on pandemic baking and caused even a shortage of materials for making things like bread, cookies, pies, and so on. It's Food Friday, and our guest says, let's take this burst of energy for home cooking and run with it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you learn to cook or bake for the first time over the last year and a half, or learn to cook or bake something new in that time span? Has it all changed how you look at food and eating and cooking? What's that experience been like for you? Do you have some momentum and you're going to stick with it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jennifer Rood-Klett is a journalist and food writer and author of the new cookbook, Home Cooking Comeback, Neighborly Advice and 40 Pleasing Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. Jennifer, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy to be back on Central Time, and this time talking about food on Food Friday.
And Jennifer, could you just share your love and encouragement, because that's a lot of what your book is about, encouragement for people to do more cooking at home.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of good reasons why you should cook at home, okay? I mean, we all know it tastes better. It's less expensive to cook at home. It allows you to be self-sufficient in feeding yourself. It's a great way to have much more control about your health. And it allows you to also create those wonderful food memories. And all of those things were present, but once the pandemic hit, I think many of these aspects about home cooking just intensified and ratcheted up. And I think a lot of people were trying things for the first time. And I find it absolutely fascinating that one of the reactions to the pandemic was baking.
And can you talk about your philosophy of home cooking? Going through your recipes and your advice, this isn't super fancy stuff. It's not persnickety, cranky recipes that we got to do just right. Talk about what goes into making a great home cooking recipe for you.
Yeah, I don't really do persnickety. you know, being a food writer, I've had to write about a lot of different foods, and I pretty much just focus on foods from Wisconsin. So I love to do local seasonal things in my own kitchen as well. And I've learned so many things. Every single story I've written, I've learned things about food. And one of the things I've learned is that there's a lot of bad recipes out there. So I try to really seek the best recipes. For example, I was... many recipes that you find online, and if you look for a recipe online, it can be a huge time suck. You don't know if it's going to be any good, and oftentimes they're very complicated. And so I always look for simplicity and kind of let the ingredients do the talking, or I should say the tasting. And, you know, another thing I do is that I kind of embrace imperfect cooking. So never let perfection be the enemy of the good applies here. You know, if you're looking to be flawless and produce these just wonderful social media worthy of photos of food, it can be intimidating and paralyzing, demoralizing. And that's the last thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to just encourage people, especially people that are just starting out, to bake and cook, to not give up. And I think the cookbook offers a lot of realistic advice.
We're talking to Jennifer Rood-Klett from here in Wisconsin. Her new cookbook is Home Cooking Comeback, Neighborly Advice and 40 Pleasing Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you gotten into or back into home cooking and or baking, especially during the pandemic? Where do you go for reliable recipes? Is there a website you found, a favorite cookbook that you have, a family hoard of recipes that's been passed down through the generations maybe? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jennifer, you shared a few recipes with us. We've got them up at WPR.org/Food Friday. They're all very fall appropriate, I got to say. Let's start with one, a great Wisconsin ingredient that stays good all year round, maple syrup in your slow-cooked maple pork chops. Tell us about these, please.
Yeah, so the exact recipe is available on your website, but these are phenomenal and, again, really fall appropriate. We just got some fresh apples from an apple farm. And so this incorporates, you want to get 4 thick pork chops. And if you can get the bone in, that's a little bit better for a slow cooker. You can increase the flavor a little bit more. And then if you could score some smoked pork chops, do it. It just takes it up a notch. And then we add in a little bit of maple syrup, extra virgin olive oil, dry red wine, some thyme, and then you want to slice up an apple. And it doesn't really matter what kind. Just slice it up into big chunks. You don't need to put the core in there. A little salt and pepper, and you keep that in the slow cooker for a while. And you can brown the pork chops before you put them in the slow cooker. Or what I have is I have a slow cooker that will brown, has browning capabilities, but you don't have to. So if you don't want to, you know, fuss and you just want to get something in the slow cooker before you leave for the day, just throw it all in there, turn it on, and you'll come home and you'll feel like a hero.
And Jennifer, you said a little maple syrup, and something I've definitely encountered cooking with maple syrup or making cocktails with it, a little bit of maple syrup goes a long way. Do we have to be careful not to just overwhelm everything with the maple?
Yeah, of course. You know, maple syrup is really intense in calories and flavor and sugar content. The maple pork chops just call for 2 tablespoons, so it's really not a very big amount. I did a newspaper story on maple syrup, and for some reason, I just became very fascinated with maple syrup and how unique it is to Wisconsin. So maple syrup is indigenous to North America, and it's generally produced in the northern areas near the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Seaway because that's where maple trees grow. And so it turns out maple trees are more than just eye candy with their striking leaf color. They're also amazing sources of food. And we've got like 270 licensed maple syrup producers in the state, and I like to call them tree farmers. And the Home Cooking Comeback features 5 recipes that call for maple syrup. And it's, you know, I broke the book down into 9 chapters, all featuring Wisconsin grown or produced or raised products in there. And maple syrup got more than its fair share of recipes.
We're talking to Jennifer Rudklat about her new cookbook, Home Cooking Comeback, Neighborly Advice and 40 Pleasing Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. Find a few of those recipes, including those slow cooker maple pork chops at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you could join the Food Friday conversation right now at 800-642-1234. What home cooking or baking successes or failures have you had in the last year or so? Do you have cooking advice that you like to share with your neighbors or family members? Where do you go for great, reliable recipes that work out every time? Share your secret recipe source, whether it's a cookbook, a newspaper column, an online source, a family member, let us know about it. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk now with Jennifer Rudklat about her new book. It's called Home Cooking Comeback, Neighborly Advice and 40 Pleasing Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. She says, hey, if you have gotten more into home cooking over the pandemic, don't stop. Keep it up. And she's got advice on how to do that. Make great recipes. Find great recipes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there something new in your kitchen that you got into over the last year and a half? Tell us about it, how it went. If there was a learning curve, your favorite successes, your most hilarious failures if you'd like. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And also answer the question, where do you go for recipes? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jennifer, also in your book, in addition to the recipes divvied up by great Wisconsin ingredients, you share some traps that home cooks often run into that you hope you can help us avoid. Can you give us one or two of those?
I think one thing that you're going to learn with experience with home cooking and baking is that there are some occasions to splurge and there's some occasions to save money. So when you're out shopping, for example, I found that white granulated sugar, I found absolutely no discernible difference in the quality despite a wide range of price. So my advice is to just get the cheapest generic sugar you could find. But this is not true across the board with all food. So sometimes it really does pay to buy that more expensive ingredient, because when you cook at home, it takes a lot of time and effort. And the last thing you want to do is to have your ingredients sabotage your efforts. One of the things I wanted to mention that's really important is flour. I did a newspaper story on milling, on fresh milled flour and how important it is. And I read that I think a lot of people could use a flour intervention in their kitchen, because if you're just using AP or all-purpose flour, as we call it, you're really, really missing out on a whole world of flavor and nutrition. So no one to splurge and no one to save. And the other thing I think was really underscored in the pandemic is the, local boards. Foodies have been nagging us for so long to shop local. And I think it was really driven home during the pandemic when you saw centralized food chains dry up or fail. So, when you went to the store, You didn't see flour, you didn't see yeast, you didn't see meat. And I think this really drove that home. People were panicking. And every story I did about food during the last 18 months, on garlic, on dry beans, on beef, on freshly milled flour, the local producers said you just would not believe the demand. So these local producers are so important to food security in Wisconsin.
I want to check out another recipe you shared with us. I love making soup this time of year. You've got a soup with great northern beans. It's great northern bean soup is the recipe. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Great northern bean soup is one of my six soups that I make on a regular basis. I've got two soup recipes in Home Cooking Comeback. And I just want to mention, too, if you'd like any information, additional information about Home Cooking Comeback or know when I'm going to be making personal appearances, they're all on my website, which is jrudeklett.com. So dry beans are what go into the great northern bean soup, and I am a huge fan of cooking with dry beans. And great northern bean soup is one of those soups I make that when I'm tired and I don't have a lot of energy, I make this soup because it's the absolute easiest soup of all time, and it's very healthy. It's really good at keeping your weight down and makes a really good weekday supper. Pair it with a BLT or hot ham or a fried egg sandwich, with a hunk of cheddar on there for a meatless option, or even a grilled cheese, or even, just some crusty bread is really good with this. You're basically just taking carrot, celery, and onion, and one clove of fresh garlic, and you're just kind of browning that for just a few minutes. And then what you want to do is you want to add in a 6 cups of reduced sodium chicken broth, which is kind of a cheat. I do make my own broth, but hey, sometimes you got to use the canned, right? a bay leaf, salt and pepper, and then I put in 4 cans of great northern beans, rinsed and drained, and a little parsley on top. And you pretty much just have to boil it to make sure that the carrots are soft and it gets better with each reheat, you know, smashing the beans all along the side of the pan. And it's just great, great comfort food and super healthy.
You can find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's bring out a caller now. Rick is with us in Monona. Rick, hi.
Hey, enjoying your show. I'm one of those people that during the pandemic actually took up cooking big time. We used to have a stable of recipes that we used, but they got kind of old. So I started watching the Test Kitchen on Wisconsin Public Television and Milk Street. And if I saw a recipe I liked, I'd record it, and then I'd play it back, and I'd write it down, and then we'd try it. And it was phenomenal. It changed our diet. We're now eating Vietnamese and Chinese and Middle Eastern and Italian. And it's just wonderful. And my family noticed, and I've sort of become the hero of the kitchen.
Wow.
So I highly recommend trying it. It's
Rick,
it's really revolutionized everything. All of our food that we eat now has fish sauce in it or miso or that kind of stuff. I never, ever thought we'd be using that in our kitchen, but here it is.
I love it. Rick, can you share, before we let you go, a favorite dish from this experience, from your revolutionized kitchen?
Well, one of them was called molletes, which is it's a black bean, like a fried rice, or excuse me, refried black beans with all kinds of spices in them, and then you put it on toast, and then top it with cilantro and some kind of Mexican cheese, and that's one of our family favorites.
I love it. Rick, thank you so much for sharing that. We've got Jennifer Rood-Klett with us. Her new book is Home Cooking Comeback, and I'm hearing, Jennifer, from Rick, you know, and I've been there too. You're kind of in a rut, make the same stuff in the kitchen again and again. What do you recommend people do to try to shake out of that rut and bring something new into the equation?
Yeah, Rick had a great testimony there. What I try to do is, as I had mentioned, I learn something from everybody I talk with when doing a food article. So I encourage people that have been cooking for a while or have been lax in cooking at home to remain teachable. And there's a lot of great sources out there that, you know, that Rick was talking about, America's Test Kitchen and so on. And you know, he's what he's doing now is he's creating this wonderful food memories. And if you're really, really blessed in this world, you can remember when somebody you loved and loved you made you something to eat. And those are just some of the sweetest memories you could ever have. Remember, we're all going to pass away someday, but our phenomenal cheesecake recipe can live forever.
Thanks for the call, Rick. Just in our last minute, I want to amplify something you just said, Jennifer. You talk about in the book the joy of cooking, not just for yourself or just for your household, but look for opportunities to find people who need a little boost and make something for them. Make the case that maybe we should try that this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So I broke down the book into neighborly advice in the beginning, and then I have my 40 recipes. And to close out my neighborly advice to people, I talk about cooking for others. And what I'm basically saying is that, you know, you can have the absolute worst day in the world, but if you have a hot bowl of homemade chili with melted cheddar cheese and warm chocolate chip cookies, it's really going to help you. And the same goes for someone else. So home cooking is just not about the food, just about the food. It's about the gesture. It's about our culture as people. So let's not lose it. And when you cook or bake something for someone else, you help raise that person up as well as yourself.
Jennifer, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us on Food Friday.
My pleasure.
That's Jennifer Rudklett, a freelance writer and author. And we talked to her today about her new book. It's her first cookbook. It's called Home Cooking Comeback, Neighborly Advice and 40 Pleasing Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. Well, if you're looking for some home cooking, some recipe ideas to make for yourself or share with others, we've got a few of them that Jennifer shared with us. You can find them online right now at WPR.org/Food Friday. We heard about the Great Northern Bean Soup there. That sounds great. The slow-cooked maple pork chops and a bonus, some dessert, pecan pie or pecan pie, if that's the way you lean on that, with a northern twist. All great fall recipes, all available for you at WPR.org/Food Friday. Take pictures if you make them. Send them along.